Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
On the stinker scale, this is a 5.
Set the stinker scale to 100.
What's up, hot queens?
Did you bring the baby gherkins?
This is when I really felt like maybe we shouldn't do this podcast.
Astronomical.
I hate to see it.
Wasted potential.
Are you drunk?
I am so drunk right now.
Welcome to Bad Author Book Club, where we're not like other authors. We're worse. I'm Ryan LaSala.
And I'm Clarabelle Ayortega, and we're two authors reading the most bizarre fiction we can find. So before we get started on today's pointless chapters, make sure that you guys are following us on all our social media. Please, please, please leave us a review on iTunes specifically is really super helpful. Mm-hmm. There's so many of you who haven't left a review. Like, just do it. Just really
quick. You think that we don't know?
Like a cute little 5-star, Ryan and Clarabelle are hot. This podcast is so good. Keep it moving.
Yeah, that's it. Keep it pushing.
Yeah. So just do that for us, please. Thank you. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram. All of our links are in the show notes. And let's get started.
How have you been, Angel? It's so good to see your face.
Oh, thank you. I've been okay.
You've been better.
Not bad, yeah. But I have been better.
I best certainly know that. So,
I just have can't really talk about specifics, but I do have some publishing stuff going on in my life right now, which is just a little bit stressful. Like, it's funny because there's one of, our mutual friend of ours who is a newer writer, right? Mm-hmm. And he'll be this is so interesting because I never thought about having to make a decision about some of the things that you go through. And it shows how super specific publishing is and how there are so many different sort of variables to factor in that you might not have experience even if you've been in the industry for a very, very long time, right?
Yeah.
So I'm dealing with I was dealing with one of those situations, a very sort of what do I do? This is not in the kind of thing that anybody ever talks about out loud. It's not any sort of blog post.
Yeah, because the way that this all works is, right, so much of publishing is aimed on the end goal of getting published. And then everything after that is really unaddressed. It's because, the majority of people don't actually make it to that line, right, of getting published. So it makes sense that so much energy is put into basically addressing the majority of people with the interest.
Right.
I understand that, but there are so few resources for once you get on the other side of that. It's just kind of people chit-chatting, and some people have, there are probably, workshops and things like that too, but I feel I am constantly in meetings with good friends, strategizing, and it feels like a little bit like a dream. I'm in a circus in someone's vision, and we're trying to figure out a way to make it all work. It's very goofy, very funny, but also exciting.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful for the fact that we have our friend group where Ryan and I with our matching lip oils.
Let's just pause to put on some lip gloss. Hold on. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry. We have to stay hydrated.
Looking good. Okay.
I'm very grateful that we have the kind of group chat where not only are we supportive of each other, we're able to tell each other shit, I want that for myself, mm-hmm. without it being a passive aggressive thing. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I love the most about having you and Phil to bounce ideas off of is that we are so good at strategizing together. And it's not just you guys listening to me or me listening to you guys, when there's something going on, even though that's part of it. But it's also sort of like, okay, so like what can we do? Like, what are the next steps? And it really feels mm-hmm. like having sort of like a war room.
Yes. Oh my God.
Like
yeah,
a control
no.
center.
Yeah. I feel like we're looking.
We all get together.
Over like a miniaturized map of our lives with like little token pieces that we're like moving around the board. Like that's what it feels like. I was like, well, if you do this in this, then you've got to be ready for like these sort of repercussions. Like you have to expect an ambush on your left and like this, this, and this. And it's so no. funny to be doing this with like close friends. Like who knew, who thought this, things would come to this? But
it is actually really, so it's funny, but it's also so helpful. And mm-hmm. I wonder how many other authors do this. I bet there's a lot of authors who do this, but like if you don't see your friend, your writer friend group as a place to like strategize, I think that you should try it, because like it can be really helpful. And I think part of it is being open to feedback about a situation that can be touchy at times, mm-hmm. like in publishing. Oftentimes, like, our feelings are wrapped up in everything that we do, because it's like our creations, like these things that we like pour a lot of ourselves into. But I think what helps is like the three of us are very super lasered in on the fact that this is a business.
Yeah.
And like we will sit down and be like, bitch, you're being stupid, like, and this is why, thing. And like, we're not afraid. Like the last time, for like our listeners to get an idea of it, the last time I went to like Phil and Ryan, they basically had like at the very beginning, like two kind of like opposite opinions about something. Mm-hmm. And as we talked about it, it kind of like we all came to sort of like an agreement on like what the strategy should be. But there's no fear of sort of like being like, no, this is what you should do.
Yeah.
Even if it's like completely opposite to like what I want or like what someone else in the group thinks is a good idea, which is so good. And there's no like shame in that, right? It's just sort of like when you're brainstorming, right? When you're brainstorming, you come up with stupid shit. But in order mm-hmm. to get to the good stuff, you need to let it all out and sort of yeah. like do a stream of consciousness. So I'm very grateful for having like friends like you and Phil and Peter and Kat and everyone who I could sort of like talk to mm-hmm. during these moments where it's sort of like, how do you deal with this thing right. that is like I've never even thought about before? And also mm-hmm. it makes me think of people who like get an agent or like just got a book deal and they're like, I am going to be coaching you now in publishing. And I'm like,
oh.
Like, there are so many scenarios that, like, you don't even, like, even us, we've been at it for years, and there are things that we don't know how to navigate. Mm-hmm. So it's so difficult to do that kind of thing. It's not the kind of thing where, like, if you get an agent, you get a book deal, like, you know it all. Like, trust me, there's so much you still don't know.
It drives me crazy that people, and I've even done stuff like this too, where I've like eased into the role of like, let me show you how to do this thing. But I typically am only explaining like how I've done something in my specific ways, like mm-hmm. not the same as mm-hmm. the people who are out here being like, sign up for a $500 workshop with me, no name Little Miss Debut, who won't debut for another year and a half, and who when I do will probably flop because I'm doing this for whatever reason instead of focusing on like my writing, right? Like, God bless those people, and they are legion, so I hardly have enough blessings to give them out to all of the flops, but I do try. My resources, they're plundered. The fucks, they've been given. But what I wanted to say about, like, having a group, too, is that, like, there's a really big difference in having a group full of people who are just, like, yes people and people who are willing to have a frank discussion with you. And I think something that I know surprises people about, like, me is that I don't just agree. Like, I'm not just, like, a yes queen gay. Like, when you and I talk, like, there's many times, and I know people are used to, you know, us on here, like, agreeing for the most part, and occasionally we'll disagree, but it's, like, very joking. But you and I mm-hmm. switch into, like, big business booby mode and sit down, and there have been times when you've been like, I want to do this, and I'm like, I don't think you should do that. And here's why.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're thinking about these things. And you've done the exact same thing for me. And mm-hmm. then we discuss it out and we figure out like what the equilibrium is between these things. And we share different perspectives. And that's useful. You want to know how to have a discussion with your group of friends? Rather than having a bunch of people being like, yeah, you know what? That's so crazy. Oh my God. Yeah, get her. And like, I'm not going to name names, but I think of a few like scenarios that I've watched happen online where it's really clear that like a writer had just a room full of people who didn't give a fuck about her, were simply just like going the path of least resistance and being like, yeah, you should totally do this. And then that writer has made a really big or like really public or really, I don't know, sort of like flashy choice, and then things don't go their way and they're completely surprised, and all of the people that were moments ago like being like yes queening her are backing off being like, I would never have, like, you know, I just wasn't sure how to like stand up to her, so I just said like go for it or something like that, and this person's sort of left hanging, and I'm like, I never want to be that, right? And I always want to give my friends full credence to push back upon me if I'm rotten on the inside, which I wake up rotten, you know, my every day's a rehabilitation. So of course I want my friends to have that kind of comfort. And if you don't have that with your group of friends, you've got to learn how to develop it, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's so much more useful to have someone who is willing to offer you a different perspective. And that's what I mean. I'm just truly, like, very, very grateful that I have that, because there are really sticky moments where like you're navigating like publishing politics and sort of like timing and, you know, which project to work on when, and like managing editors and deadlines and all of these different things. And it's really good to have that kind of feedback and like back and forth. So it's been a very busy time in my life. Like, I basically went from like deadline to deadline. I'm on a little bit of a break right now, but I'm going to hop right back into deadline in like a couple of days, probably just like a day or two. And it's going to be a very tight deadline again, like a week probably turnaround.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I am tired, but I'm also invigorated. Like, I'm excited to work on the things that I'm working on. And that is very helpful, because it's not like I'm working on a project that I don't care about.
Sure.
Or that I feel sort of like animosity about.
Yeah.
I'm working on things that I'm happy to be working on. So I want to make them really good. It's just tiring, right? Like, I'm exhausted. Like, I just moved. It's the holidays. I haven't been off deadline in like months. This is like the first time I've had like a few days off to myself.
The last time that you had a few days off, we were sitting at my dining room table for Thanksgiving. Like, that was the last moment that you had like some time. Ooh, and we were literally hanging out together. And then we were like sitting in front of my fire. And I was like, damn, Claire, I was about to have like a rough couple of months, but here you are in the midst of it all, like giggling, smiling, looking hot. So really a model citizen of Indra, I'll tell you that much.
I'm a person of utmost importance, some might say.
I heard that about you, actually. I heard you were an upstanding young woman.
Well, you know what it is? I consider all of this, even though it's very tiring and it's a lot of hard work, I also am very grateful for it, because like if I didn't have projects and deadlines and all these things to work on, I would be striving to sell things to have those deadlines. So I'm there. I'm in the thick of it. I'm enjoying all of those things as much as I can. And I really do love to write and revise, even when it's really difficult for me. Yeah. This is like the part that I enjoy the most. Like, I actually enjoy like touring and events less than this. Like, I like it because I get to see friends and stuff like that, but I'd much rather be in my office working on story than doing anything else when it comes to like the writing process. So I'm grateful for that. And yeah, I'm going to be very busy for like the next couple of months, and that's totally fine, but I'm hopefully going to have some like cool, exciting things to share with people in the near future. So yeah,
we'll see. I'm excited. Oh my God, it's gonna be so good. And I don't even know what the outcome of these things is gonna be. I'm just excited for it all to come crashing down upon us in a like benevolent way, a benevolent avalanche of success
crashing down in like as like a refreshing wave crashing into us after sizzling in the sun.
After sizzling, baking, the Sisyphean task of writing. Oh, speaking of
the sun.
Yeah.
Weren't you just in Costa Rica?
Oh, yes. Oh my God, I was. And I had a Costa freaking good time. Thank you for asking. Constantly, I was in Costa Rica under my breath going, are you Costa freaking kidding me? And no one heard me, so no one got the joke. And there wasn't, you know, No one would have thought it was funny anyways, but I was just in Costa Rica with my family, and oh my God, family vacations when like everyone's an adult is It's very funny. And so I was with my Larry and Ann. So you've met Larry and Ann. This is where we all have Thanksgiving together.
Them.
And God bless Larry and Ann. They like sort of went the route of just sort of letting a travel agency handle this, which is something that like has never occurred to me. Like that to me like, yeah, I'm like, that's like luxurious.
How vintage. I know. Like 90s.
I know. Like Marvelous Miss Maisel with her like typewriter being like, so you want to see.
I can't believe travel agents still survive. Like shout out to travel agents. You guys have really made it through.
Oh my God. Truly. But it was like, I mean, thank God though, because the last time I went to Costa Rica, it was 10 years ago. It was right after college. I had no money and therefore had enough money to like rent a car, but not a GPS. And like cut to me and my bestie rocketing around like the cloud forest mountains lost, having to use literally the sunset to navigate west in order to get home. Like it was a mess. And my family loves talking about how I almost died in Costa Rica. So imagine my surprise when like, we're going to go to Costa Rica this year. And I was like, I'm coming with you. Cause A, I cannot trust you to do this by yourself. And B, I need to like redeem myself because I know this country's amazing. But every time I try to think about my own memories from my last trip there, I like black out. And so I'm pleased to report it was a way funner time this time around. And I did get a little sunburnt, but you know, that's to be expected. I spent all my time sitting inside, like hunched over a computer. So the second like a photon of light touches me, it's like, tss.
You're all so pale.
Truly, yeah. So, yeah, I'm also like a bright pink person. So it was a lot of fun. But I will admit the entire time, like I was sort of itching to not leave vacation, but to get back to my house and my work because there's so many things like ahead that I have to figure out. I mean, like I literally have to write a book by March 15th. And have I started it? No. So I've got like that to do and a few other things here and there that like I'm really trying to make the most of this year and the time that I have. And so it feels good to be back, to be recording, to be taking actionable steps on all of the things that that I myself need to do too. So I'm excited. I feel like I've been on vacation for 100 years, so it feels good to be home.
Yeah, you're always on an airplane.
Yeah,
I really am.
I need to be banned from flying. That's no.
No, don't say that.
Let's just get started. Let's just start the chapter. Today's chapter is chapter 22. Livia.
So, if you remember from last time, Pep just got shot and died.
Yeah. And Livia, here she begins the chapter by being like, I was looking right at him. He was looking right in my eye. And he was angry. But you know what? He was peaceful at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Her empathy, the range of her empathy is so crazy, but she knows that he was at peace.
I have thoughts about the empathy thing.
We are one sentence in. Do you want to talk about it now or later?
No. We can wait.
So she's like, come on, Lex. We got to go. And Lex is like, oh, no. Lex is like, Livia, we need to go. But Livia is like stonily standing looking at this. But then Lex is like begging her, like, oh, my God, we got to go. And Livia sort of turns on her and is like, oh, my God, I'm an empath. And something about you says that you're afraid. Literally, they just watched a man get shot point blank. And here Livia is using her empathetic abilities to like sense fear in the girl next to her. And like a fucking psychopath, she like relishes it. She's like, ooh, yeah, this girl needs me. She's gonna beg. And while I want to go with her because I need her too, I want to make her beg a little bit more. She's like loving it, loving the begging.
So strange of her when they're in danger right now. Like they're surrounded by these PCF officers. Like,
yeah.
One of the things about this chapter is, I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm usually not very good at this, I will admit, but I had a really hard time with like understanding my surroundings as I was reading.
Sure.
So I know they're sort of like hidden, but I don't know where the PCF officers are in relation to them. But like, I think not having sort of like that sense of place dampens the urgency for me because like, are they like 5 feet away from them? Like, do they have to like crouch down to make sure they're not seen? We don't know.
Was looking directly at her, which implies that they're like near enough that this should be a little bit.
They're talking. And then they're talking. So it's like, can't they hear you? Like, did the PCF officers like run away? Like, we don't even know what happens to them after they have earmuffs on.
Yeah, the PCF officers all have like their hands over their ears. So they're just like, they look like this.
He shot Hep and then he was like, ah! Covered
his ear. Yeah, all the officers look like the see no evil, speak no evil. Like, they're all just like covering their senses just to give the girls the courtesy of this conversation.
So that was a little bit like disorienting for me, but like this was so just like, regardless of anything, they're definitely in like a dangerous situation, right? Because like they are trying to get away from these officers, and for her to sit there and be like, I'm just gonna let her beg me to move, was so psychotic of her. Like, what the fuck, Livia? Like, here I was thinking like Livia is the rational one, and I was like, nope, never mind, she's a crazy bitch. Once again.
Yeah, she has, like, the rationale of, like, an old Hollywood actress. Like, all of this was happening, and I was like, this is Joan Crawford. Like, her being, like, her in, like, a very mommy dearest way, being like, beg for me, and maybe I'll consider it. I've seen plenty of riffraff, like, you wandering around in drugs. Like, I was like, go! Like, this is crazy.
That's such a good way to describe her. So eventually she gets her to move, and Livia's like, I hope you know what you're doing. Which I was like, what do you mean? Like, is the alternative standing and saying where you guys are? Like, she's just telling you have to go. So, like, if Livia thinks that they should stay there, it would have been helpful for us to know that. But the only thing we get is, like, her turning sharply to Lex and be like, I hope you know what you're doing. So she's just telling you have to get out of harm's way.
She's being pulled away from like an ongoing battle, being like, well, I'm gonna trust you that this is the thing to do. Like, well, what else are you gonna do? Just stand there? Or I don't know, it's so crazy. But then, wait, they're running and they're like running through like the rig, like base, I guess. I stay a few steps behind because remember Lex can like see through the dark. And then there's like a scene break, and then it picks up with, oh, I say, shocked to find us standing over a second dead body. Like, there's no moment of them discovering the body. Like, we pick back up and they've actually stumbled literally over a second dead body, and it's Durley. Remember Durley? He was like the other rigger. And here I am, like, so mad because we just met these characters. We both were like, oh, finally, like, some interesting characters. They're gonna die immediately, I bet. And here they're both dead. And the second death isn't even dramatic. They just like literally step on him and they're like, oh. Anyways, and then they just keep going. There's no like moment of reaction. They just keep going all the way up to, oh God, the sense of place here is crazy. They are trying to get to like the top of the rig. Remember, they started at the top. And at the top, there are all of the like aircrafts that the PCF flew in on.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what I sort of imagined. So they're now thinking about like how they're gonna escape from the rig in general. And the plan that they decide is they're going to steal one of the PCF crafts. But also, this didn't make sense to me because they're being chased up by the PCF, up like a column. And at the top of the column are more PCF. So the PCF, what? They went like down to the bottom of the column, started down there, and now they're taking like lifts up to the top of it. It's very strange to me how this is all in like a cycle, how they're both running towards and away from the same people.
Right, and that how they don't actually encounter like a group of them or like are overwhelmed by them. Like they find sort of like a ship, and there is someone in there that they attack, but that's sort of like it until they come out all at once. But like, how did they not encounter any of them? Like, it just, it's very convenient. It's very Tookie walking behind the glass and it being opaque in the very moment she needs it to be.
Yes. I that the logic of that scene is deep in the logic of this book. So they like find the one unguarded but occupied like PCF craft, which it, all of this implies like if they're being chased by the people that were in these crafts, and the crafts themselves are probably empty, but they find the one that somebody's already inside of. Mind you, like, these aren't big crafts. Like, they're tiny sort of, like, 1 to 2 man ships. Because Lex was in one earlier, so we actually know that. Like, they're not these, like, big carriers. So, but this one has, like, its pilots on the inside. And Livia's like, watch this. And she takes out her zinger. And Lex is like, what are you going to do with that? And Livia's like, you know what I can do with this, because, like, you know, they had been using one earlier.
But
and she uses the blade to, like, I thought she was gonna do something cool, but she actually just, like, pokes the man with it, and he's like, ah. And then she uses that moment of, like, surprise, as anyone would be, to, like, throw him out of the cockpit, and she steals his gun in the meantime, and also this kills him.
Yeah, so I missed all of that.
Did you?
I don't remember him getting killed. All I saw was, like, Olivia using her zinger, like, across his chest, and then, like, Lex kicking him in the gut.
Yeah.
Oh, and then she pulls him out of the cabin. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good that they were, like, actually working together finally. Like,
true.
That was good, that moment. Yeah.
Way to go, girls.
So they get him out, and then the PCF now, like, come out onto the platform. Like, all of them suddenly are there, right? That's what happened.
Yeah, right. So they're on the platform. All the ships are on the platform. The PCF, who have now been, I think, led on this wild goose chase. This is what I think was, like, the intention. Now surface on the platform as well. Quick side note, they get into the cockpit, they're, like, taking off, and Livia looks down at, like, a brawl that's about to happen. She goes, "The violence sickens me." It's like, okay, bitch. But then she's like, "I can only hope the riggers have their justice." So I like that line. But what eventually happens, though, is that, like, all of the PCF fighters, like, get on top of this platform, and then it's an ambush because all the riggers sort of, like, pop out of the ground or various hiding places and basically, like, ambush them, and it develops into this, like, brawl, which the girls promptly, like, take off from, and they jet away.
Yeah, it seems kind of silly, this plan. Like, first of all, like, it feels to me like, when I guess we'll find out later, like, this was quote-unquote planned.
Right.
But, like, wouldn't the riggers react when these two people are killed? And, like, wouldn't it be easier to, like, get to the PCF officers when they're sort of, like, on your turf in this area that, like, you recognize better than them, rather than wait till they get to their ships?
Yeah.
And then attack them? It felt, like, very convenient way to sort of, like, let the girls get to the top unimpeded and then sort of, like, it would have been so much better if the riggers had, like, started attacking once Hep got killed and, like, a fight broke out all around them, and they used that confusion to sort of, like, sneak away.
There we go. Yes.
But this seemed very, like, convoluted for, like, no reason. And I think it's because they wanted to make it, like, the riggers planned this all along. And it's, like, when did they plan this? Like, this literally, like, you guys just appeared. Like, this was not, like, a thing that they had, like, time to, like, strategize
about. No, wrong. In the riggers plan, they probably, like, they were like, all right, here's the plan. We're going to ambush them. And as bait, we're going to use two girls. And the other person's like, where are we going to get two girls? And the person making the plan is like, I don't know. Maybe they'll fall from the sky. And that's exactly
as a joke. What happened. And then it happened.
And then it happened. Yes. But.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I agree. And I love the war tactician hats that we're wearing, because we're like, this is not how you do an ambush. I've seen 300. Anyways, they take off. The girls take off in their little ship, which, again, Lex, incredible at flying. Someone who has lived their entire life underground is like, she's incredible at flying. She takes off and she knows a lot about how to do it. And then Lex is like, oh my God, where are we going? And they're going to the IHC, the Indrithian, like, headquarters or head control or whatever, sort of the big skyscraper in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
And Livia's like, go there. And Lex is like, I already set the coordinates, which is just, I don't know why that made me giggle. Like, what do you mean you set the, how do you know? Like, Was it preset?
Didn't this feel kind of abrupt to you that they were all of a sudden going to this place?
Yeah, I feel like in rescue missions, there usually has to, like, you usually don't see characters just, like, go for it, right? In, like, heists and rescues sort of tend to have similar things because you're either stealing something or stealing someone. And I think the favorite thing that I like to see is that, like, there's always, like, well, you know, we have to gain access, but to gain access, we have to find, like, the key card, and the key card is on this person who's going to be here at this point. So there's all of these, like, small little deviations
steps.
That have, yes, yeah. Steps, right? But no, they literally just steal a ship and they're like, bring us to the end. And the ship's like, boop, boop, boop. Okay. And it just like blasts off towards
the ship exact... is a Roomba.
Yes. Stop. God, they're Roomba. And they were like, go. And the Roomba was like, finally. And it just went up into the sky.
So there's a suction break. They're speeding, zipping and zooming through the sky.
Yep.
And Lex is like, oh, he planned it. Hep gave himself up to the leader. Lead those PCFs into the trap. She sighs dearly too. I hate that they just know things all the time. It's very annoying. Yeah. And then they make the comment that like trouble has been festering between the PCF and the Riggers for a long time.
Yeah.
And like, it's really unimpactful to find that out after there is a big clash between them, because the idea would have been for us to know that so that the moment that they land somewhere where there are Riggers, we as readers should already know, oh shit, ooh, this is about to get.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the PCF are after them. Like, the Riggers are here. Like, they want revenge. Like, it should have almost inspired, like, a little bit of excitement in us.
Yeah.
That, like, oh my gosh, like, they're gonna get to, like, clash with them. And we should also have some sort of feelings towards the PCF at this point. But, like, we don't. I don't know. Are they good? Are they bad? Like, I know that we're sort of like being led down the path that they're not good, but we haven't been shown that on the page, really. They're not any worse than either of these girls are. So
agree. And typically, like, when the establishment is like the big enemy, as it often is in like a dystopian novel, like, I think what would have kind of helped make this make sense is if one of the two girls was on the side of the establishment, but they're unwilling to basically let Livia have like a real character arc again. And we know this because it's been so bumbled like up until this point as well. But like a version of this could have been Livia, who has always questioned high society, but has always seen the necessity of it because of her own brainwashing and conditioning. She could sort of be the one having this reckoning about like, oh my God, maybe the PCF isn't what it, you know, what I thought it was, not the protectors that I thought it was. But the thing is, she's been basically apathetic towards her own society this entire time. And that then gives the reader very little visibility into how the society works or sort of why it's like set up, because we only have her disdain. But the fact of the matter is for a world to feel real, you kind of have to understand like how the authority keeps its power over its people. Like, why is there an authority like this? And what sort of control does it sort of sell itself as having? And a monopoly on violence is literally how a state is formed. And so there needed to be a little bit of like, it's not good that we don't understand anything about like the PCF. They just feel like this bland, indistinguishable entity, peacekeeper knockoff. Whereas like, I watched the new Hunger Games recently, and that like prequel, that movie is so interesting because it really does delve into like how the Hunger Games are this type of reaction, and you learn about how like control is enforced and maintained against a subjugated population, thanks to like a few of the characters sort of talking about how, you know, it's a game, right? It's all a game. Controlling a population is a game. And I'm like, I'm sure Suzanne Collins thought, does anybody really want to read this? And I'm so glad that she sat her ass down and wrote it, because people, I think that's why people love the Hunger Games, because there's a sense of reality, or the fact that like this could have been us, right? To that world. And we don't get any of those sort of interesting, deeper details here at all.
And it's such a shame, because like they have the potential to be scary and sort of ominous. And especially as I get older, when I read about teens, I like get so worried for them, because like I'm like, oh my God, you could be my child, and like don't go there. don't jump off.
Yeah.
But like, I really don't care what happens to these girls at all. They're so unlikable, and there doesn't seem to be any real danger posed to them at any time. Like,
they're indestructible.
Right. And this, like, just to give listeners a little bit of an idea, like, this is a chapter where they are escaping. They're escaping after someone, a young person, gets killed in front of them.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like a page and a half long.
Oh, like, yeah. Very short.
So short. There's no emotional sort of like reckoning of like what they just saw happen in front of them. Like, Olivia is just standing there. But she's being petty in her brain. Like, She's not in shock. She's not sad. She's just like, I'm going to sit here and like let Lex beg me to move. And it's just like, there's nothing here. There's no meat to the story. There's no like interiority, like no richness to like these characters. It's just like pettiness and internalized misogyny. And that's it.
Yeah, as it turns out, that doesn't make for a compelling character. So
who'd have thunk it?
Oh, I'm being petty in my brain. Anyways, that's the end of the chapter.
That's it.
Cue the fucking music. Oh, okay. I mean,
so do you have a rose and a thorn?
It brings me no joy to get to the rose and thorn of this. I don't know. I mean, I'm looking over my notes and usually there's like one or two things that I can like pick out. Okay, I guess my thorn is that Livia has like time enough for like pettiness and begging. That was so weird to me. And I guess my rose is that ultimately the Riggers' plan did work, that the Riggers were sort of able to execute some sort of like larger retribution against like the PCF. Of course, that's completely undermined by the fact that we have no idea like really what this fight is, or sort of what it means to like a larger movement, or even if there is a larger movement. And of course, the two characters that were giving us any of these insights have just been killed. One of them off the page just so that he can be stumbled over as a dead body in the middle of an escape that has no urgency whatsoever. And I know that I started the sentence talking about a rose and I don't know where I am in the thought process. I'm just so, I'm so annoyed and I'm ready to stop talking. You go.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to say my rose is like the small moment where they work together and to dispatch the one guy in the ship. I think that was like really the only redeeming quality of this chapter. My thorn is definitely the lack of importance given to Hep's death, because like for all intents and purposes, like we're going to see like in the next chapters, especially that like this interaction that happens between the Riggers and the PCF officers is supposed to be this very big deal, right?
Right.
This is Rue dying. This is the moment that radicalizes Katniss, right?
You're right. This is probably so important.
Except all we get is Livia being like, I'm not going to move because I want to make her beg me. Could you imagine? It is such a missed opportunity.
Too true, bestie. And it's even worse though, because like at the start of it and at the end of the chapter twice, we get two beats where Livia assures us that he really wanted to die. He was at peace with it.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
he's a martyr.
Yes.
Like,
there's something really fucked up about that. Like, this character doesn't even get like sort of the heroics of it, because like they were into it. Like, their death was for a cause greater than themselves. But like, without understanding that cause, just like, it's basically the equivalent of Livia assuring us that like, I mean, he's dead, but like, it was so worth it for him.
Yeah.
And we don't know why or for what, or like to what end goal this is serving. And
Just trust us.
Yeah. Like, maybe we'll figure it out later. And I don't have any hope that we will, but so goofy.
I think that like this is why when you have a float, like a very bloated front end to the book, this is where you really see sort of like the consequences of that, because what we needed honestly between meeting Hep and Durley and this chapter was like to slow things down a little bit. Honestly,
we needed like overnight.
Yes, we did. We needed sort of like a cleanup moment, like a little bit of bonding between the girls, getting to know Hep and Durley, so that when this happened, it would be more impactful. And also giving the girls a chance to make a plan, because we don't know when they decided that they needed to go to the IHC, right? Like, this is just sort of like sprung on us. So I feel like a chapter in between, like even one or two chapters in between, if they were like short, would have really served to make this chapter more impactful. Instead, what we got was like meeting these guys. Like, I wish I would have met them and sort of like successfully avoided the PCF officers, but like Lex could have been like, they'll be back, like protocol is like dictates that like you have to come back to like the scene of something like this. Like, like 24 hours later or something like that, like once you gather resources. So like they have time to like make a plan to like gather supplies or whatever they need to do. I think that would have been so much more interesting. And like, we haven't had a moment where these two girls like sit down to talk.
Yeah.
And like, I think we need that. And I think we just needed to get to know Durley and Hep a little bit more. And it would have been really, really impactful if like the plan was not for Hep to die unless X happened, right? And be like, we're, you know, we're sure it's not going to come to that. However, if worse comes to worse, like, I'll do what I have to do. Like, it could have been something ominous. And then when he looks at Lex and Livia, they'll be like, shit. He meant he was going to give himself up. And, like, they, like, try to, like, stop him because they don't do anything. They just sort of, like, hide there and, like, watch him confront these officers on their behalf and don't say anything.
It's true.
So, yeah. So, like, just this whole chapter is a stinker. And it's just, like, it's a product of everything that came before it. Like, it's very hard to build anything good on, like, a rotten foundation. And, like, the whole – everything we've read up till now is, like – completely like fluff and like not good. So like why are we expecting anything else to be good? I don't know.
Well, anyways, thank you, Hot Queens, for joining us for this as Claribel calls it big stinker. Hope you love the big stinker, our annual big stinker episode of Bathroom Book Club. But
on the stinker scale oh, this is a 5.
Set the stinker scale to 100 because this I'm setting my lasers to stink. Anyways, you can listen to Bad Author Book Club on all of your favorite streaming platforms. And as you do, it is always helpful for you to send us a review, a recommendation, and to tell your friends about how much fun you're having listening to us complain about a situation that we put ourselves in. If you would like to follow us on social media, those links are in the show notes. And so is the link to our Discord, where we discuss Bad Author Book Club chapters every single week, all the time. And if you'd like to follow me, Ryan, all of my socials are in the show notes, including my website, where you can find all of the links to buy my own books, my own young adult books. Not dystopian, mostly in the horror and horror fantasy realm, but, you know, you could probably find... Actually, someone did unearth a Bad Author Book Club reference in Discord from Beholder, my last book recently, and I thought that was funny. I was waiting for someone to notice that.
Oh my god, I have to go through
I always
fall so far behind, but they're chatty in there.
They do be chatting. It's true.
If you want to follow me, Claribel, much like Ryan, all my links are in the show notes. And you can find my website down there too. Please pre-order the third Witchlings books, House of Elephants. By the time this airs, the cover will have been revealed. Oh, so exciting. Please pre-order that. Preferably at an indie bookstore, but it's up wherever books are sold.
Pew, pew, pew. All right, Hot Queens. We have loved you a long time, and we will love you a long time longer. Anyways, goodbye.
That's what I always say.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.